Blog Talk Radio.
Animal here on September 21, 2016. September 21, 2016. You know, I'm just going to tell you something very quickly. I read recruiting articles every single morning, and I often don't agree with the articles I read. I'm going to give you an example today. I read one that is the exact opposite of what I think. When I think you should be direct, she thinks you should be indirect. Here's an example. According to the article, a good recruiter won't call a candidate up or a person he or she doesn't know and they want to recruit. She won't call up and say, I have a job I'm trying to fill, and I wondered if you might be interested. That's too forward. Too forward. You're supposed to say, I wondered whether you might know someone, you know, and that way she doesn't have to say a personal opinion at that point. It's baloney. Okay, and then it also says that your approach requires a little foreplay. If the recruiter dives, this is a quote, dives straight into interrogation mode and starts asking pointed questions, I think that's a sexual innuendo, pointed questions about what you've done in your past jobs, where you've worked, and for how long, get off the phone. Get off the phone. Those are the questions a recruiter has to know. Come on. I know some recruiters who say, yeah, you should talk about the Toronto Blue Jays or the Maple Leafs for the first 5 minutes of the call. First 5 minutes of the call, you know, just to build rapport, or maybe a TV show like the Emmys were just on. But I think, who wants to listen to me? That's what I'm thinking. I think recruiting. Hey, Gary. Jerry, don't eat your chips into the mic, okay? I'm almost done. Give me a break. I was just at the climax, Jerry. I think recruiting should be more like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. A quick in and out. Yeah, okay? Now, if I have a few minutes left, I'll just finish off. She says that a recruiter should give straight answers about these questions. What's the manager like? What would the culture be like when I'm working there with that manager? And I'm going to say, you know, I'll be honest, okay? This guy is very serious and gruff, and I wouldn't work with him myself. If you get something wrong, this guy's going to chew you out in front of everybody. You want to work someplace like that? But the truth is, I'm outside the company. I'll never know anything like that, so I'll never tell you. Okay, but here's another thing. I don't think the recruiters who work inside the company are going to tell you the truth either. They'd say it wasn't businesslike. Here's what they'll say. He's very serious about getting things right, and he likes to hold everyone to the highest professional standards. So it's a really good place to grow, right? And grow you will on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show! Yeah. You jump on this now every week.
That wasn't my fault today. That wasn't my fault.
It's all your fault.
No.
Dude, I rehearse this every morning in the shower. I know exactly when that music is supposed to come on, dude.
I do, too. God. I know exactly when, and I pressed it at the right time, and
No. Hey, don't let him see us behind the scenes like this. Move on like nothing
okay.
happened.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. And Thank you to our sponsor, PC Recruiter at PCRecruiter.net. Now, Jerry, before we get going, before we say anything else, I want you to know that it's HR Margot Rose's birthday today. It's Margot's birthday, okay?
I got to say, It sneaks up on me every year.
Yeah, okay. And Margo is famous. Her birthday's in September. She's famous in the recruiter sphere for two things. Lots of things, but I'm just going to name two. Hire Friday, the job chat that changed the world, okay? She brought a little optimism to America's workers when they were at their very lowest, down in the dumps. And she's also known in the same vein for Compassionate HR, her radio show. I was a guest, and Jerry was on at the same time. You can listen to it. Just put it in Google, Compassionate HR, recruiting animal. But you'll get mostly Jerry. Okay. So anyway, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to her. All the lines are open. Everybody knows the song Happy Birthday. No one will recognize your voice. Is anybody with me on this? Will you sing Happy Birthday? Just say yes.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
With you.
I will.
Yes.
Great. So, Happy Birthday, Mario. We're going to start now. One on three. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Amyala on Twitter. I don't know. Why don't you change that already?
I'm too
well,
famous,
not,
animal.
It's Ala Recruiter. Ala Recruiter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why don't you change it? What's up with that?
Maybe I will. Maybe you've inspired me. Give me some ideas. What should I change it to? I don't want to lose my 4,000 plus followers, you know, by some accident.
Them,
or,
good point, Amy.
You know.
Never point out a problem if you don't have a solution, animal.
I mean, listen, I realize I'm not social media savvy and all.
Yeah,
but
that's kind of old news now. That's been
a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. Amy, do you want to introduce yourself? Do you have an elevator speech?
And now the
you know
recruiter
what?
Who needs no introduction.
Yeah, Amy, recruiting
I'm
warriors.
I'm Amy Miller. I've been a longtime fan of the Recruiting Animal Show. I've been on a
I
few times anytime he'll let me.
I didn't tell you to plug. Let's move on. I'll just say
I know, you didn't have to. I did it out of the kindness of my heart. I'm a recruiter. I've been doing this for 17 years. I now work for an allegedly well-known tech company based in the Seattle area.
Pete Scott, now, okay.
Is Starbucks a kind of company now?
Let's move on. Jerry, don't drive me crazy, okay? I will block people today, okay? So,
you can't block me, dude. It's in our contract.
Yeah. Okay, oh! Good. Anyway, she wants to
Bam.
Talk about a guy named – she came on today because she wants to talk about a guy named Bruce Horwitz. Horwitz,
I want to talk
okay?
about a lot of people. And a lot of things.
Well, yeah, but we're going to start here. This guy wrote an article, and he said, if you've got an engagement ring on your finger and you're a woman, don't take it to a job interview. They're going to – I don't know what his thinking is. They're going to think you're high maintenance. And he says the hiring manager might be willing to have a high maintenance woman in his personal life, but he doesn't want one in his office. And this drove Amy crazy, and so she's come here to talk about that. The floor is open for Amy. Say something good, or I'll cut you off.
So let's be very clear, because I don't want to misrepresent Bruce. Bruce is
can everyone
probably
hear her?
Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
No, I don't
want to misrepresent anything that he has said. So let's just be very clear, okay? He said his words, in quotes, when a man sees that ring, he immediately assumes you are high maintenance. When the woman at the office who has the largest diamond on her finger sees that ring, she will realize that if you are hired, she will fall to second place and will therefore not like you, lose the ring. Can we just sit with that for just a minute? And I want you to put yourself
city.
In these various
no
shoes.
City.
Don't listen to me. Don't wreck my show, animal. Don't wreck my show. Let's just marinate on that for a moment, if you will. Now, animal, you're the man, okay? You're the hiring manager who you the man who sees this ring, what is your first reaction?
This is funny. Annabelle,
you
get to be the man this time.
Yeah, we're going to try a little different role play.
That was not sexist. Oh, my God, I'm in trouble. I didn't mean anything by any of that. Hey, can you delete that, animal? I don't even know what I can say out here anymore.
You know, I mean, is that your reaction? Are any of the men on the call, is that your reaction when you see an engagement ring?
No.
No.
Can I speak freely?
How about my lady on the call? Does anyone,
is the lady attractive?
Does anyone look at an engagement ring and say, oh, my God, that heifer's got a bigger ring than mine. I'm not going to like her. Has anyone ever at any point in their life had that reaction?
Did you say heifer?
Yeah, she did.
Yes.
Okay. Well, once you're talking heifer, the ring doesn't. I would
ring
never notice the ring.
That's a big,
I'm not
big
noticing
ring.
The ring.
That's a big ring.
That woman.
I can't.
Yeah, but this is my point. This guy did not come from a perspective of, you know, hey, this is something that happened one time. I made this suggestion. It seemed to have worked. This guy is laying down a blanket statement that men will respond this way and women will respond that way. So, therefore, you have to lose the ring.
We know this guy's ridiculous, and he's had his time in the spotlight. It's stupid. It is outright ridiculous.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know what? It's a non-issue. I'll tell you something else, Amy, that you said that's not true. You said the guy's a misogynist. No, he isn't. He's just stupid, like Jerry said. He doesn't hate women. Okay? It's ridiculous.
Well,
he also, I'll tell you what's even more true.
Quacks like a duck. What do you call it?
Okay, hold on. Maureen Cherub, I'm going to put you on the spot.
I'm here.
Okay? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think women are very nice to each other. So you think women are catty. And you, I expect, would be something.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're putting a lot of words in my mouth, but
go
ahead.
Away from me now. That's what you believe. You've said it a million times. I want to know, are there women, if they see a big shiny diamond ring on your finger, are they going to get jealous and going to be saying, I don't want her here?
It depends on the woman's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much on
which
the
woman,
ring.
Which woman, though? Is it the woman who's engaged or the idiot in the office who's having this perspective? Which woman's behavior?
Can I say something?
Both.
Can I say something? I just want to throw something in. Men have no idea, looking, the difference between an engagement ring and a wedding ring.
Really?
Can I clarify
that?
That's
true.
I have no
well,
idea.
That's interesting because Bruce
that is
goes on to say that if you had a prenup, you'd be more respected. So how do we trigger that? How do we let you know about that?
Yeah, I'm just saying about the all we see is that there is a ring. And so that's what we know. And speaking as a married man, I don't even look. I don't care. But in my single days back in the office, the bullpen of the late 80s, oh, my goodness, that was the heyday. Oh,
Jerry, come back to us.
Here.
Jerry.
Where am I? Wednesday
at
noon, animal shows.
Jerry,
on
here.
Day.
Pay attention.
No, we don't know anything about an engagement ring or
Look, I'm letting you guys talk because it's not a non-issue to me. But I did ask Maureen. I did ask Maureen a question. She didn't want to give a straight answer, but I'll give her a chance to answer. Do you want to say something straight, Maureen, instead of shilling? Say, that's not for me. I think women are all nice to each other.
It depends on the behavior.
Okay. Well, no. We're not talking about the behavior. We're talking about the ring. Question finished. We're finished with that, okay? No, but I'll give you. This guy also said if a man wears a Rolex watch, not for you dummies, not a Rolodex watch, a Rolex watch, he shouldn't wear that to an interview. Cause
I'd
it'll
be more
make
impressed with a Rolodex, personally.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. Should you wear a fancy watch, or does that make a difference? Jerry, do you notice watches, big watches?
I'm not going to answer.
That's a yes.
Ooh.
That's a yes.
I don't.
Maureen,
I don't.
Do you notice the big watch?
Watch envy.
I find watches to be kind of stupid now because we all know what time it is.
Okay. Amy, you get the final say.
Yeah.
Are you impressed by a big watch?
Not at all.
Big shiny watch doesn't mean
size
anything,
doesn't
eh?
Size doesn't matter, animal.
Okay.
It's just about the size of the watch.
Okay. Amy's next big question, yoga pants. Man, she came here with all the big stuff today. Hey, recruiters, you're not going to learn anything on this show. Amy's got these ridiculous
obsessions. I do want to clarify one point, and I'm going to let you ask your questions. I'm going to get through all of the fluff and stuff that you want to cover. We're going to do that. But at some point in the show, we need to get back to my broader point in all three articles that I've gone after. We are recruiters. We are looked to as the professionals who are supposed to know what the hell we're doing and be able to coach people on interviews, job searches, resumes, and all that stuff. When we have so-called recruiters putting out this garbage out into the internet, do you have any idea how many calls, messages, emails, texts, and tweets that I've gotten from candidates who are going, what the world is this? I'm so confused. Help me. Tell me this isn't true. That's why it matters. That's why we have to talk about it, because people are confused and irritated and disgusted with our behavior. And these people are representing us. You better say something.
Okay. What do you want to say about yoga pants? I look at yoga pants. I admit it, okay?
They're very comfortable. I might be wearing some right now. You don't know.
Do you have the gun in the back, Amy?
No, I need to get a pair of those.
Let's get to the point. What do you want to say about, look, it said online
the
that
point,
they caused,
okay?
Wait, no,
the
no.
The point is not
yeah.
pants. It could have been basketball shorts. It could have been, who cares, okay? The point is not the pants themselves. The point is we have this junior recruiter. I have actually created tiny human beings in my own body in less time than he's been a recruiter. Okay, who is going to tell the world that we shouldn't wear yoga pants to the office because of yeast infections and vaginitis?
What the hell?
Yeah. And also folliculitis.
Is this a realistic representation of the kind of professional advice that recruiters should be giving?
Why not?
That's disgusting.
It doesn't bother me.
I mean, that's
I don't
what
care.
He said. The article's been pulled down, but I have screenshots if anybody, you know, wants to validate the
okay.
quote themselves.
Okay, here's the real question.
That's
are
the
they
problem.
Too sexy?
Do not
are they too
come
sexy?
At me.
Are they too sexy?
Are they too sexy?
Are they too sexy?
I suppose
that's
it depends on the person wearing them, doesn't
who's
it?
Who's too sexy?
I think Jerry's too sexy.
Yoga pants.
I think on you, Ann, well, for sure.
Guilty.
On me, probably not so much.
Okay.
Here's what yoga pants mean. They mean, look at my butt. I'm working on my butt. What do you think about my butt? Isn't my butt nice? Still
no, that's
at
not
it.
What a woman would say. They would say,
oh.
I'm comfortable.
Right.
In the
okay, pants. Then I'm way off base.
You know, I'll tell you what yoga pants means to me.
I'm
going to
get in so much trouble for this show.
Couch,
I'm going to have to hang up.
Ever?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yoga
man.
Pants means I am not getting off of the couch, and somebody better be bringing me wine when my cup is empty. That's what yoga pants mean to me. Yoga pants is the trigger to my family that mama's not moving and we should probably order pizza.
Okay, your final big one, and then I'm going to an ad, okay? Don't leave the makeup at home. This made you angry for some reason. And here's the quote. Here's the quote from Jessica Glazer. It's not Bruce this time, okay? It's Jessica.
Right.
She says, decent looking. I was shocked by that, the way she said. Decent looking females, not women, who are better groomed earn more than naturally beautiful women who don't subscribe to the done up full face makeup look. Go ahead. It's all yours.
So it starts with the title. Her title of her article is Putting on Makeup Can Actually Increase Your Income. It's not being poised, having a professional appearance. This is very clearly focused on makeup, foundation, eyeliner, mascara. Again, not about combing your hair, not about washing your face, putting on makeup. Now, my assumption is this is targeted towards a specific gender because fellas who wear makeup, it's not quite mainstream. They might get a different reaction. I don't want to assume, though. Maybe she thinks everybody should wear makeup. Maybe she thinks Jerry should wear makeup. I don't know. I didn't ask. But she starts with that title, which in and of itself is provocative enough, right? Then, you know, she cites some studies and there's, oh, you know, one day she hopes to live in a world where people are paid an amount that reflects the work they do. Fair statement. So do I. But until then, you might want to consider a dash of lipstick and touch of gel. Because you want to show you've put a little time into yourself. The products may cost money, but consider it an investment in yourself.
How old are you? 12?
I want my
daughters
to pay for their degree, not their mascara.
What's the issue? What's the issue? Maureen, you're a woman. Is this an issue? It's not to any of us. It's just, you know,
none
really.
Of, nobody on the call has an issue with this.
No, Adam, we know what the issue is, but we can't say it. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to say it because 6 years from now, you're going to have a 30-second audio clip of me saying exactly what we all know. And you're going to say, well, that's not what you said in 2016. And I'll be like, oh, shit.
Okay, and that is the difficulty with doing these, right? Like, I'm sprucing up my resume just in case because my mouth's going to get me in trouble one of these days. I know.
I don't know.
This is not the message I want my daughters to get.
It's not important. These are non-issues, and I'm sorry you saved them for me. You should have given it to Katrina Kibbe.
If they're non-issues, why did I receive the article three times in the space of 10 minutes yesterday with job seekers going, what the hell? Can you help me understand why someone would say something like this? Tell me that's not an issue and explain to me why I'm getting those kinds of emails.
Three emails. I don't consider that the world, okay? I mean, it's nothing.
It may not be the world.
I got to tell you, you're not going to get a prize for this show unless something happens in the next half hour. I have to do an ad now. It's going to be more interesting than what we were just talking about. Hey, everybody.
I'm sure to you.
Hey. Yeah, okay. Hey, everybody. You know, some recruiting software companies, they say everybody is a separate snowflake, right? And they claim to respect all types of people, whether you wear makeup or not, or whether you have yoga pants or a diamond ring. They say they don't care, but you know they do. They care. They like executive search better, some of them. Some of them like staffing companies, and some of them prefer direct hire, right? But then there's one recruiting software company that goes by the motto, E Pluribus Unum. Everybody, we love everybody. We don't care if you wear makeup. We don't care if you wear yoga pants. We don't care if you wear diamond rings. We love you. If you're a recruiter, we love you. And you know what company that is? PC Recruiter. PC Recruiter. Check them out, please, at PCRecruiter.net. PCRecruiter.net. And now back to Amy Miller, our fantastic guest.
Let's talk about .net. Can we talk about .net for a minute, Animal?
Oh, you're here. Martin Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
He runs that company. Why does it say .net? Everybody thinks that's foolish.
Okay. There used to be 54,000 numbers called Autonomous System Numbers, ASN. And if you happen to have an ASN, then you can connect to the Internet directly anytime using your BGP routing. And if you have an ASN, that means you're a big company or an ISP. Main Sequence has an ISP, has an ASN, so we use the .NET. Our customers use .NET, but when we're advertising our products, we like to use .com. So if you put in .com, it gets the same web page as if you put in .NET.
No, it doesn't.
If you have a PC,
no, it
yes,
doesn't,
it does.
Mr. Sponsor.
Yes, it does.
No,
it doesn't.
Okay.
Try it right now. Try it. If you put in .com, it'll take
Jerry,
you to
.net. Jerry, do
that
for me, will you? Jerry, do that.
I'm scheduling an interview with my customer for Monday at 2:30.
Hey, hold on. I'll do it. Okay.
Sure. Send out your more important.
Okay. This site can't be reached. Martin Snyder, don't make a fool out of me. You've done it enough already with this PCRecruiting.com.
This must be some Canadian problem.
Yeah, okay. It's Canadian
that
problem.
That would explain a lot.
Yeah, okay, I got to get back to the show, okay? I got to get back to the
you
show.
You really should. I'm still
thank
here.
Thank you, Martin Snyder. Martin Snyder, he runs PCRecruiter.net.
Can I throw out one more idea for conversation real quick?
Go ahead.
Talking about
you know what?
Yoga
maybe
pants,
you could call on a
pants.
Good phone. Maybe you could call on a good phone sometime. Go ahead.
Well, I'm out here in the woods. Yoga pants, makeup, whatever. Gender is not in the pants. It's in the mind. So you can be catty and be a man. And you could be impressed with somebody's big Rolex or not impressed with somebody's Rolex. There's no one factor.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
He's voting for Hillary, okay? Anyway.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. Okay. Anyway, now speaking, Jerry gave me an idea. Jerry says that any recruiter, first candidates are losers. Any recruiter has got to know
what?
That rarely is the first person.
Never said that.
You did.
I never said first candidates are losers, so retract it, redact it, and shove it.
No way. I'll quote you exactly.
Roll the tape.
You said any recruit, I think it's in print, any recruiter has got to know that rarely is the first person you introduce the one who is hired.
Correct. Correct. Hold on. I did not say that your first candidate is a loser. You
are
like to paint with these brushes, and it's absurd.
Are they going to win the job, Jerry? No!
It is
absurd. That's a loser! That's a loser!
They might. They
Here's
might
the deal. I don't
job.
Like you saying that I said that if I didn't.
Okay.
So
Amy,
knock it off.
Amy.
Yes?
Do you agree with
Jerry
that the first candidate doesn't get in? The first candidate doesn't get in?
I do not agree with you, but based on Jerry's explanation of what he really said, I agree.
What is that you agree
Amy,
with?
Thank you.
What is
I
it
agree that usually the very first candidate you put forward typically is not the one offered the position. That could be for a variety of reasons. It's the first candidate someone's looked at. There could be a struggle with pulling the trigger because they haven't seen enough people. We talk about that all the time. It could be the first job the candidate looked at. They got a better offer a week later. There's a lot of variables here. It has nothing to do with the order. It's just the way it works. This is a numbers game. We all know that.
And it has nothing to do with the candidate being a loser.
Frequently.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing to do with that.
I'll tell you the reason people think that. It has nothing to do with these reasons that you're blowing out all of a sudden. It's because
it has everything to do with those reasons.
It's because the who's making the noise.
People are
Come
nervous
on.
About pulling the trigger too soon.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. The recruiter doesn't really know what the manager wants, and when he or she brings in their first person, it's a trial balloon, and then the hiring manager says, no, that's not what I want. And
that
he starts getting
can
clear.
Be part of the problem.
That's
one
the
of
only
them?
Reason.
Not always, but it
no, it's
can
not
the be
only.
Part of the problem.
Oh, my God.
2 weeks ago, after I did a first meeting with a brand new client I've never worked with before, this has been about 2 or 3 weeks ago, by the time we finished our phone call, I said, you know, I think I might have someone for you. I said, you're going to look at his resume. You're not going to think he's a fit. He doesn't have these things that we've talked about clearly written out on the resume. But I'm telling you, based on our conversation and based on my conversation with the candidate, this is your guy. He's looked at the resume. He said, I don't like the resume. I don't think he's a fit, but I'm going to trust you, and we'll go ahead and bring him in. He went through his technical screen, flying colors. Went through the interview, unanimous hire feedback. We made him an offer. So you know what? It happens. Sometimes we're lucky, but that's
so
rare.
Jerry's wrong. That's what your example proved, that Jerry's wrong. Okay,
Jerry's
thanks.
Right.
No, absolutely
wrong
not.
Interpreting Jerry.
I am absolutely – maybe you're not in the recruiting business anymore, Animal, but I pay attention. The first person that we send to an interview typically doesn't end up being hired. So,
Why?
Well, that's not completely true.
This is absurd, man.
For a variety
God,
of
so
reasons.
Absurd. For a
do
variety
you
of reasons.
Back to the point of the
We've got someone on the phone from a large coffee company in the Northwest telling us exactly why they're not hiring people.
They may get hired.
Major tech company. We've got somebody on the phone agreeing with me, yet Animal, in the shelter of his studio apartment in downtown Toronto, which he probably hadn't left in months, wants to tell me
deeper than that.
What's going on. Come on!
Daryl Daly filled me in this morning on Canada and the issues with Canada.
If you submit four at once, what happens?
There you go.
You may or may not get to hire. You're probably not going to.
Okay. Next question. Amy, did you know that Amazon has recruiters who work specifically as closers? Closers, right?
Yes.
They've got a separate person who comes in, makes the offer, and closes the deal. It sounded from what you've told us before, that at Microsoft you're a closer. People bring you in when they think they're going to have problems, and they get you to close the candidate. Is that true?
That's happened a few times. I mean, it's not like my job, but yeah, I've helped out with offers and helping coach recruiters before. Absolutely.
Okay, so what do you think of this? What do you think of having closers, specific closers?
Well, I think it's interesting. I guess it works for them. They're doing well over there. But the concern I would have is there's no relationship up front with the candidate. Like, for me, I, at the very least, meet my candidate when they enter the interview process. If I have a candidate who's been sourced by a sourcing team, I get involved with them when we start bringing them in for in-person interviews. So I'm with them throughout that entire process. And so by the time we get to the offer stage closing process, we've already had a lot of conversations and have probably met in person. I think that lends a little more credibility, and I think it also helps to create more trust so that when we have those really difficult conversations and we talk about money, which makes everybody really uncomfortable, they're more likely to trust that I'm doing the right thing on their behalf.
Okay. So you, if I offered you a job for really big money to work as a closer, someone who didn't meet the candidate until it was time to present the offer, you would say, no, I can't do that job. Is that true?
I would say, how much money?
Big, big money.
What's big, big money?
Oh, double what you're getting now. Double what you're getting now.
Do I get to wear yoga pants in the office?
Yeah, whatever you think is going to make the deal, okay? I don't care if you wear a ring or anything. My point is, from what you told us before, I remember you came in, you didn't know the guy, you looked at the notes, you saw what he wanted, you went back to him and said, let's take a look at this list, because he wanted an unreasonable amount of money. You went through his whole list of what he wanted, location, everything like that, and you said, forget about the money. You've got all these other things. They're really more important. And you sold the guy, whereas the other recruiters who had been with him from the very start, they couldn't do it. You knew how to do it. So could you do that on a regular basis with other people?
Of course I could.
So you could do that job.
I could do the manager job. Would I do the job? I don't know. Would it be the ideal job for me? Probably not. I like the interaction up front too. But could I do it? Of course I could.
Okay. So, but hold on. You've got these other loser recruiters, junior recruiters. They can, you know, have an ordinary chat with a person. But when it comes down to brass tacks, Amy can carry the ball. You say on Quora, you're writing on Quora now, you say that you have to deal on a regular basis with candidates who have lots of offers from high-profile companies.
Sure.
You're at Microsoft. They've got Google. They got Apple. They got everybody.
Uber.
Okay?
Google, Facebook, Amazon, LinkedIn even, surprisingly. Oh, yeah, I got lots of competition.
Tell us a story. How do you deal with that?
You want a story? Okay.
If you've got one.
Had a guy with a competing offer from Apple. And he was very hung up on level and title. That was a big deal for him. We had a lot of back and forth. We had a lot of debate and discussion about the offer itself, the numbers and everything. We were finally able to get basically within striking distance. I'll just leave it at that. It was a very exceptional offer. And he was really hung up on, you know, the work he's going to be doing, and he's a PhD, so, you know, is he going to write white papers and that kind of thing? So I had to go back to the business and lay it out very specifically. Here are the triggers for this guy. It's not about money. We've handled that. It's not necessarily about brand recognition because they're both big, successful companies. It's about these specific facets of his work. Is he going to be able to do these things? So the manager went and had dinner with him or something over a weekend and kind of walk through that with him. And here's who we can get you involved with, and here's the work you can do on the side and all this kind of stuff. And so he got that answer, and I went back to him. I said, now tell me how your conversation with the other company went. Are they giving you the same thing? And he was quiet, and he said, you know, they really – no, they haven't. I don't know a lot about what I'm going to go into or whatever. I said, well, then you have to make a decision. You now have all the information you're going to get. You know very, very specifically what we can offer you and what the potential is. You have a little more, you know, uncertainty about the other role. You need to make a decision. And he picked us.
Okay. How come all these things that were real deal makers, you said you like to talk to the person from the time they come in. How come you didn't know them till the very last minute?
because he never brought those things up. When I asked him what's important to you and what matters to you, he gave me the usual, well, I want to work on this kind of technology. Okay, well, you're going to work on that kind of technology. It was only after continually probing, and you have to have that at every conversation. What's changed since the last time we talked? When we talked last week, you were looking at this. When we talked a week before that, you wanted that. Things change. They hear stuff from other companies. They hear stuff from their friends. You're never going to know everything in the first conversation. You're peeling back the layers of the onion, so to speak. And he probably didn't even know that's what he wanted until we got that far in the conversation.
He didn't know that's what he wanted?
Just the further he got into thinking about actually making this change and getting out of academia, that's when it started becoming real for him. And he started even personally digging into his own psyche and what he wanted to do.
And when did he tell you that he had an offer with Apple? At what point in the hiring process?
We were probably early offer negotiation stage. He had three other offers already with three different companies. So by the time we got through the interview process and we started talking offer, he said, oh, I've just finished this other interview and I'm getting an offer from them too. So it was a very slow, you know, it kind of took a little bit to pull the details out of him. There's probably three or four conversations before we got all the information, but it was right around the time we finished interviews and we're discussing offer ourselves.
So you didn't come right at him in the first meeting and say, hey, Bill, are you with any interviewing at any other companies right now? Got anything else going?
Yes. Yes. I did. And he said, yes, I'm having conversations. I said, okay, great. The next conversation, hey, we're going to, you know, fly you out here and you're going to interview on this day. What's changed since the last time we talked? I know you were talking to some other companies. Yes, I finished my on-site with company A. I haven't heard back yet. Company B just, you know, told me they want to make an offer. Okay, great. Few days later, next conversation. What's changed since the last time we talked? Well, Company A and Company B both have offers on the table. Company C, you know, I just finished an interview with them. I think that's probably going to be an offer too. You know, I mean, again, these things don't happen all at once and are sitting in a bucket waiting for you to pick it up. They evolve over time, just like our interview process evolved over time.
Okay, so you're not afraid of candidates who have things going on with other big companies, famous companies, right? You're not, doesn't bother
not.
You at all.
No.
Okay.
Why would that bother me?
Well, because you've got a lot of competition. That's why.
I know. It fuels my competitive fire. I actually kind of dig it.
Okay. Does anybody else want to ask Amy any questions about this? Because I've never heard anyone else come on the show and talk about it in detail. Any questions about this or any comments? 414, I just opened you, and 484. Anybody? No? Okay. I don't know. Maybe they're just...
Anybody disagree with me? Because Animal likes it when people disagree with me.
See, you like it too. Okay, that's what you come here.
Wow.
Okay. 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 Here's something else.
I ran into trouble with Amy the last time. The last time
talked about... Yeah, yeah, you're the guy who, about the sex, right? Yeah, if someone's
right,
good at picking up
me.
Girls.
Oh, the college dating metaphor?
Yeah.
That's right. If you got learned a lot in college, it's probably a good recruiter.
There are people who think horrible. But you know what? We've got about a half an hour of arguing about that. We don't need it again. It's
less
classic, though.
The point is, closing an inherent personal skill, like a soft skill, can it be trained? Does it definitely exist as a separate skill? I mean, those are realistic questions.
Yeah, they are. And she's denying it, but everything she describes says it can be done. She was with this guy. He didn't give her the information at the beginning.
Amy's a closer, and she has a difficult time imagining that other people aren't closers.
Okay, maybe that's
it. I respect
it.
That other people aren't closers. I work with people who aren't closers. I get that. I've seen it in action, people who can't close. I understand that. The difficulty is equating
wrong?
It to getting laid. That feels a little weird to me.
Okay, well, let's forget that part. Okay, Martin, go ahead.
That's an important demonstration of closing ability.
That's an important demonstration of closing. Okay. We can agree to disagree because I think it's gross. And
yeah, okay.
I would slap the taste out of my son's mouth if I ever heard
of
like
that.
I
would never use that as a stall test, but it could be an indicator.
But would it matter to you, though? I mean, if a woman walked in with a big fat engagement ring, would you be like,
no,
what did you have to do to get that?
Amy, Amy,
oh, we don't
Amy,
go
you're
there?
Giving. No, no, you're giving me some good advice. Yeah. I want to hear why.
Okay.
Well, just let me ask her this question. Don't make me beg. Don't make me beg, okay? She says not everybody's a closer. What are they missing?
Hey, animal.
Desire. Thick skin, maybe.
Experience.
It's a number of things. I mean, some people experience. I mean, I was not born a closer by any means. I did not do this straight out the womb. This took years to practice and hone this skill. I remember going to Chamber of Commerce mixers like before the internet, you know, when I first got into recruiting. And my boss, Michelle Stair, I'm still very good friends with her. She's wonderful. She taught me so much. She would take me to these mixers and I was petrified. Like I would almost be ready to burst into tears because I was so afraid of being in public. And what she would do is she would take me over to a group of people and say, "Hi, I'm Michelle. Have you met my friend Amy?" So she was introducing me to total strangers, but then we would say, "Oh no, I haven't. How are you? I'm Bill." And then you would start a conversation.
Yeah, that doesn't
and you
sound
do
like
that
closing.
Enough time.
Somebody else wanted to say something.
But the
somebody
point
else has something
is,
better
animal,
to say.
It's a skill yeah. that you learn. Now
yes,
I walk
I believe,
into a room
no,
with
no,
people
no, no.
I probably
oh,
already know
Amy. Amy, I believe what Martin said is true. It's a personality trait as well. You've got it. We can all hear it in your voice. Did someone else want to say something? Someone said animal, and someone else said something too. Someone else want to talk about that? Someone
hey,
else
animal,
want to talk
Donato.
About it? Donato Diario! Go ahead, shoot. We got all the big guns on today, the CEOs. Go ahead.
I was enjoying just listening in. But there's a big difference between closing, which is a skill that absolutely can be trained. It can be pulled out of somebody that's innately. But the greater skill is pre-closing. If you get to the end and they're not closed already, then you haven't really done your job. The crafting and bringing them through, and there's no difference between sales and recruiting there, right? Except your product is a person. So pre-closing is the greater skill, knowing that you've got everything taken care of, you looked at every possibility, that you've got it all handled. If somebody is purely a closer, what tends to happen there, and this is why management separates people, this is why I'll separate somebody from being the demoer and the closer has less connectivity to that person. And honestly, they don't care as much, and they'll do what they need to do to close a sale, not knowing all the intricacies, especially in a recruiting position. That,
okay, wait a second, Donato. Hold on. That contradicts everything Amy just said. She came with this guy who had an offer from Apple. She was with him from the start. She tried to pre-close all the way along. He didn't give her the key information till the very end. And those psychoanalysts would agree with you. They hide the stuff that's really important till the very end. She said he didn't even know it.
He didn't trust me early on. He didn't trust me early enough on. So even the little bit, you know, there were different things that happened throughout the time anyway, different offers that came up and that kind of thing. But he had no reason to, you know, open the kimono to that extent in our first or second conversation.
What does that mean,
so
open the kimono? What do you want?
He wasn't going to tell me everything in the first conversation, nor should he, nor would I as a candidate.
You know, Amy, you're a great
little pieces that come out in every conversation and in every discussion. You learn
the more you interact
with someone and the more questions you ask.
God. You know what? I've got you on Quora saying if you tell people, job hunters or people who are candidates, you tell them, tell me your current package, competitive offers, anything. Don't walk away without telling us all about this stuff, right? And now you're saying,
I don't say don't walk away without
telling me.
I say, this is something we're going to need to talk about. We can talk about it right now in our first conversation if you're comfortable with that. Here's why it matters. Here's why I'm asking. If you want to, you know, think about it and we can talk about it in our next conversation, that's fine too. But just know the closer we get to finalizing this process and to potentially getting you an offer, the more important this information is going to become.
Okay, I got to do an ad, then we're going to come back. I got a question for Donato. Or Marty, do you want to do the ad? Marty.
Yes, sir.
You want to do the ad or should I?
I can do the ad real quick. Absolutely.
Introduce yourself. People don't know who you are. Introduce yourself. Say the product. Tell them why they should buy it.
Martin Snyder. I'm a principal at Main Sequence for the developers of PC Recruiter. We're sponsor of the Recruiting Animal Show. The radio is not the best way to get across what software looks like or acts like. And if you look, you want to go see software and you go to other vendors' website or any vendor's website, it could take you a long time to find it. They won't open the kimono without a call or an email or some commitment. But if you go to PCRecruiter.net or PCRecruiter.com and look up 2-Minute Tuesdays or just Google the word 2-Minute Tuesdays, we do a video every week of some aspect of the software. So if you want to see what PC Recruiter does in a detailed way in 2 or 3 minutes on all kinds of different topics, how it handles email, how it handles call listing, how it handles records, resumes, partnerships, background checks, whatever we want to see. And that's the ad.
PCRecruiter.net. Thank you, Martin Snyder. Okay, with a little practice, you're going to get better. Okay, back
right.
to Amy.
that's kind of what I've been saying all along, right? We all have to practice our craft.
Yeah.
I want to talk to
Donato for a second. You still there, Donato?
Yes, I am.
You're still there. Okay, Donato used to be a high-powered recruiter. You said you made $800,000 a year. Am I right? Am I right about that?
880 was my last year in 98.
Okay.
Yes,
so this guy knows how to recruit. What about in terms of closing the element of persuasion? If this guy who had a competitive offer from Apple, he told Amy no. Does the sale begin when the customer says no? Is that the time that you try to persuade someone to take the job? Or does it just supposed to happen once you show them that logically your job matches very well with what they want? Do you follow what I'm saying? Or are they the same thing?
I think the sale starts, and it so depends. I mean, if you're recruiting for 15 different types of positions, it's hard. But if you're, for example, if I put my recruiting pad on again, I'd probably do data scientist, data mining, that sort of thing. You know, I've got multiple patents in this space. So before I ever have that conversation, I'm going to have a sense of credibility that my potential competitor would not. So it really depends on where you're coming, you know, what skills and assets you have to.
Oh, who's doing that? Who's trying to wreck me? Okay.
So
go ahead.
It starts with your credibility. How can you build your credibility as fast as possible that they will share those things with you? And you tell them, you know what? That's great, but it's not good enough to work with me. I'm sorry. If you want to work with me, you've got to be candid. You've got to answer these questions. We've got to dive in. Or perhaps it's not right, and we should look at another opportunity.
Okay, but what I'm asking, and I want to bring Amy in now. My impression, Amy, all you think closing is about is like get column A and column B. Column A is what you're offering. Column B is what they want. You compare the two. Am I right about that?
No, it's speaking to their personal drivers. For every person, it's going to be different. There are going to be some pockets that are common, right? You mentioned data science. That's all I do is recruit data scientists and machine learning engineers. This particular candidate is a senior data scientist who came out of a top school or in his postdoc fellowship, whatever they call it. I don't know anything about data science. I am the least technical person in the room in nearly every conversation I have, but it was more about, let's talk about your career goals. Let's talk about the things that you spent 7, 8, 10 years studying to learn and become, and how can we or this role or my team offer you that? That's the closing part.
Okay, hold on
then
a second.
That's a missing gap. If you have some level of understanding of what they're actually doing, you can talk to their passions, and that is part of the pre-closing.
I don't want to know what they're doing. I have absolutely no interest in masquerading as a technical person. It's not who I am. It's not ever going to be something I'm good at. But what I do is I pull in people who are technical, and I say, hey, those are great questions. I want to make sure we're lining that up. I'm going to get you on the phone with Bruce. I'm going to get you on the phone with our VP. I'm going to set up a call or a lunch or a dinner with people who speak your technical language, and I'm not going to pretend to know what you're talking about because that's not my expertise. My expertise is getting you the best possible offer. My expertise is making sure I'm coaching you on how to show up well in an interview. There are things that I'm really, really good at. Data science isn't one of them, and that's okay.
Okay, so you and Donato are miles apart on this, okay? And I would say – go ahead. Who wants to say
isn't
something?
Isn't closing making or leading somebody to sign on the line, which is dotted, whether there's a lot of information exchanged or no information – whether everyone's happy or unhappy, the closer has a goal and reaches the goal. That's what differentiates a closer by any means necessary.
Yeah, okay, well, we're talking about what the means are. We want to know what the means are.
If you get 95% of the way, you haven't closed. And that's why the test is, did you get laid a lot in college? If you got
100%. Oh,
he doesn't want to let that go. Okay, you had
he
your
really
glory
doesn't.
With that
I mean, some
time.
People just never get
it's
past the level at which they peaked. I get it.
It's
okay.
The model of closing, though. That is, pick another field, but it's still the point. The people
okay.
who have the knack to get all the way across the goal line are closers. Everybody
yeah.
can do all the activities and do everything perfectly right, but the people don't go across the goal line. They're not closing.
Yeah, well, we're trying to figure out,
here's
we're trying
the thing
to figure
in
out
recruiting,
what it
though,
is.
Here's the thing in recruiting, and this is what really separates good recruiters from mediocre recruiters. Sometimes not closing a particular candidate for a particular job is the right thing to do. Sometimes that person is not going to be a fit. Sometimes it's not the best thing to fill that specific position. There's all kinds of other stuff going on. There's headcount issues. There's different, you know, strategic stuff that's going on that may mean we don't move forward with this person. Good recruiters and bold recruiters who are doing the right thing for their clients know that and will sometimes stop the process because they don't care just about getting laid.
Okay.
Well, that's
great.
The thing, though. You don't have to close it. We've all made deals we regret. But
okay.
We
I want to stop talking. I want to stop. I got
a
question for Amy before the show ends. Okay. She said, and I don't know if Jerry's still on the call because this sounds like something
he's
that Jerry.
I'm still on here, but let,
yeah. Okay,
here's, you know, just as a little quick breaker, I was at a football game last night, middle school football game, as a parent.
Yeah.
The host team, a public school here in Indiana, blasted a rap song, okay, talking about drugs, used the N-word, I'm counting here, 17 times, strippers. I'm so pissed off about this, I've been writing a letter for the last 15 minutes. It's absurd.
Uh-huh.
Should,
you know
should I as a parent just sit in the stands and listen to them singing about strippers, hoes, N-word,
hey,
barrel in your mouth.
Michael Cox is the expert. Michael Cox, quick.
What? No, I was just yelling tangent.
Yeah, but you're the rap.
Yeah,
you're the rap guy here.
Should have been in the
you're
stands
the
with me
guy.
Last night.
You know, maybe Michael's going to say it's just the beat. You don't have to worry about the lyrics. Is that true, Michael Cox?
No, definitely worry about the lyrics. That's inappropriate.
Okay.
I'm with Jerry. Okay. I'd be so mad.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
shocked.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
Jerry.
I'd be pretty livid.
Bring your mind back to recruiting, okay? Amy
yeah,
says.
Yeah. Just let society do what they want as we go down the drain.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll just worry about my recruiting. As long as I'm making placements, who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
As long as you're
okay.
closing, man, because
yeah.
no one else being a closer.
Amy, nobody says that you have to close everybody. That's not. It's a straw man to say you don't want to close undesirable candidates. That's not what we're talking about. We're
yeah.
assuming that the goal is a desirable goal. The point is, some
yeah.
people know how to reach a goal. And uh-huh. some people have more difficulty with it.
Yeah, maybe
totally
Martin, maybe it, maybe Martin didn't hear it. I want to move on to another
people.
Question. Don't make me block the sponsor, okay? I want to move on to another question before
oh,
the show goes.
I had that kind of control over you.
Okay. 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 This is because I want Jerry to listen, though, because Amy said she puts everything in email. So everything's in writing that goes on between her and the hiring manager. And if the hiring manager says something wrong later on, she likes to drag up those emails and say, look what you said before. I'm right about that. Aren't I, Amy? That's true, isn't it?
I like to have a written record of important parts of the discussion so that if something changes or expectations are no longer aligned, I can come back and say, hey, here's the conversation we had. Here's what we both agreed to. What's different now?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's right.
Jerry says that's not what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to confront the client and say you are
wrong.
Well,
you
wrong.
Know what? I do
it's
what I want,
It's not confronting
God,
animal.
The words you put in my mouth are absurd.
Jesus, animal. Where are you, Canada?
God. Seriously, man, you got
all the time. Do you not know that about me yet?
You know, Animal,
that's
how
like
many
my superhero name. I'm confronting girl.
Animal, when
okay.
was the last time you did a search and had a manager that you did a hand hold on. that you did a handshake agreement with or a telephone call to agree upon something, and then 1, 2, 3 weeks later, it came back to bite you in the butt, and you said, hey, Joe, you remember you said this? No, I never said that. I don't remember saying that. It's just following up to remind them. It's not putting them in a corner. It's right. just saying, here's what we right. discussed.
You don't say, you jerk, you lied to me.
We are not enemies.
Yeah.
It does not have to be adversarial. This is a partnership.
Poor
and sometimes
animal.
We need to remind each other, hey, we talked about this. This is what we agreed to. What's going on? They do it to me, too, and I want them to. I tell my managers, hold me just as accountable as I'm going to hold you because we are in this crap together.
Is there a book that can help a guy learn how to be smooth?
That
we would all pitch in on and send it to Animal?
No. Don't
give
away your best
knowledge. You're in a lie.
Jerry, don't catch me in a lie. Jerry, you say if you're getting into a confrontation situation with your client, you've lost already.
Sure.
You cannot hold their feet to the fire. No, hold on. You say
don't
you
hold their feet to the fire like a dickwad. You got to be smooth about it, man. God.
What does that mean? What does that mean exactly?
Look, if I had to tell you, it wouldn't help.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
I understand. Exactly
you have
what you're
no skill set outside of cornering people.
Yeah,
okay?
That's what Amy does. She corners them.
And let me tell you, if you're internal, you can do a little more cornering than if you're one of three agents. I don't have time for this.
No, you
it's
don't
ridiculous.
Want to admit it. You disagree with her. She says corner the guy. Show him his signature.
Jerry and I are in sync. We're
good. Amy, we know what's going on.
You're not in sync. You're denying it. Shame
on
you. Shame on you.
I think we get each other.
The black and white world you live in, Animal, is just so shocking.
And we appreciate that. It's cool.
We're going to get... Last word to Alan Fleur, because he said something about this. Alan, have you ever had a situation where you talk to a guy or a woman, they say one thing today, something else next week, and how did you handle that?
Absolutely. That's why I send
you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Factory HR manager position, the director hiring managers, we had two additional intakes. We sent people over. We had an agreement on a conference call. And then the hiring manager, I don't remember saying that. Thank God I had witnesses on the conference call. And from that point on, years ago, I send out, hey, recapping our conversation. And then, I never said that. Here, let me show. Well, maybe I'm missing it. Here's what I remember. Let me know what's changed. And anybody on this call, Animal, that has done a search recently will be able to confirm that for you.
Okay, you're with me.
It doesn't have to be
adversarial. No, he's not with you, dude. He's with me. And Amy.
No, he isn't.
Yes, I am.
No, he isn't. No, he isn't.
Yes, I am.
Okay. He's
saying that he is. I'm saying that he is. Amy's saying that he is.
Okay.
And I'm saying, Animal, hold on.
If you don't know how to help...
And hold on, Jerry, and I'm saying this with all the greatest respect in my yoga pants with my natural lipstick on and my high heels, and I've taken off my wedding ring.
That's okay today for you to do that. Okay, I want to thank
thank
great
you, Amy.
Martin Snyder, the great, Donata DiOrio, the great, Maureen Sherb, Jerry Albright, not so great, the great Amy Awa, Alan Fleur.
Miller.
And the great Michael Cox. I think that's everybody. Happy birthday, Myrtle Rose. Thank you, Amy. Goodbye.
Underestimated.
Well, Marco, let me cut in.
That is shocking. I'm just jumping in to say that is shocking.
Okay, I'm back to
listening. Isn't that funny? When I start to talk, finally get a chance to start talking, the mouthpiece comes in. Go ahead, Jer. Take over.
Well, you know, it's like you're a puppet, and Jerry's, it's Jerry's voice. You're the, he's the ventriloquist.
Hey, I was just interjecting. I'm not taking over. I was just interjecting.
Okay, can I take control again, please, and ask her a question?
You got to do something with this thing,
well,
man.
Do it.
It's dying here,
do it.
Animal.
Come on.
Please, please. Okay.
Has everybody heard about the virtual Christmas
Shut
party?
Up!
January 21st.
Shut
if not,
up!
Go to JerryTheRecruiter.com.
I will give you a chance if you ask me. Just don't butt in. I have not been able to talk for 5 minutes. Okay?
Forgive me.
Yeah, you got your whole show to blab for a half an hour. Give me a chance, will you? When I ask for it, at least.